The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
We have a big night of soccer tomorrow night on ESPN2. Mexican powerhouse León faces the Seattle Sounders in the League's Cup Final, a competition that features the top teams from North America. Our coverage starts 10 Eastern on ESPN2 and the app, One App, One Tap. And as we welcome you back here to the Seaport, brought to you by Chase, as always, before we begin a new hour, Jeff Saturday, someone just showed me a TikTok in which Peyton Manning seems to have suggested the reason he didn't room with you is because you sleep in the nude.
Yeah, he likes to put a lot of info out there. You know what I mean? He's like falling into this media thing full scale. Like, he's not afraid. He just, so I think maybe we should start coming out with some other stories. Oh. I'm going to go back in the bank and put some together myself for some TikTok popularity.
It's all about the details. Yeah. That's the key thing to remember.
And in that case, the fewer, the better. In the meantime, let's rack up another hour here. We're jam-packed. Swagoo's with us as well, and we are getting up with a Green Bay Get Right game. The Aaron's feasting on the Lions. Is all finally well in Cheeseline? We will answer that question. Then the clock continues to tick in Dallas. The coach trying to explain the inexplicable. You will hear the very latest from Big D and whether it makes sense now. And it just gets more and more confusing in Chicago. We'll help you try to make some sense out of what that coach had to say yesterday. It will be a challenge. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now for this hour with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers hosting the Lions last night. Lambeau Field, Monday Night Football, coming off the disastrous opener against New Orleans. Second quarter, game's tied at 7, and Jared Goff and T.J. Hockenson had something going last night.
Man, the accuracy on this pass is outstanding. There's confusion in the secondary, but I don't know if anybody could have stopped that ball. It's a great catch.
Hockenson had 8 catches last night. Lions, a 14-7 lead. But if that was a question, Aaron Rodgers had the answer. The answer was Aaron Jones. What a night he had last night. Takes this one down to the 1-yard line. He'd already had one touchdown on the night, and here comes his second Aaron to Aaron on the right side.
Yeah, you're expecting a run right here. Roll pass works. Every time. Gets in the end zone. Now it's time to dance.
The Lions would add a field goal, however. So 17-14 Detroit at the half. Now, third quarter. Just feast your eyes on two ridiculous throws from Aaron Rodgers. Here's the first.
Man, this is unfair. You can't really cover much better than that. He puts it in the only place you can. Great pass.
That's 50 yards to Devontae Adams. This one might actually be better. Jeff Saturday, how about this throw to Tonyan?
Indefensible. Indefensible. I mean, literally, you can't even see the green when the ball is let go right here, and he puts that thing right on the shoulder. Like, there's no way to stop that.
It's a touchdown. Packers up 21-17. Next, Lions drive. Critical play. Fourth and one, they go for it. You don't mind the play call?
Yeah, I like it. Be aggressive right there. Attack the single coverage. But Stokes stood up. Rookie DB balling.
They weren't able to get it done, and so Rodgers takes over, and he takes advantage. Look at this. Off-balance throw, off-balance catch. I'll show you both sides of it again. Rodgers falling away. Adams going up and getting it. Just spectacular from both of them. Then 14 seconds left in the third. Second and 10 from the 11. How about a third touchdown for Aaron Jones?
Oh, man, it was his lucky night tonight. He's going to go out and party in Green Bay. Oh, there's nowhere to stop.
Oh, he's partying. He'll find some fun to be at. Meanwhile, next play. We got a wet ball. We got a fumble, Jeff Saturday.
Yeah, listen, you got to practice this. We used to practice as Peyton Manning and I would. You dip the ball in a 5-gallon bucket of water. The weight of the ball changes where the quarterback's got to put his hands, his bottom hand splitting through. You can't have that in big nights on a Monday night.
That was literally the first play after the touchdown, and it leads to this. Aaron Jones taking it in again. Jones, his fourth touchdown of the night, and the Packers go on to win it 35-17. Aaron Rodgers, he'll tell you right now, he was listening.
I think that there's even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week. I just think people like to say a lot of and it's nice to come back in here after a game like that.
Jeff, what do you think?
Well, I don't know what he's talking about. Like he played literally his worst game of his career, and all we did is comment about it and then say, he'll be better next week. Like, don't bet this is going to be the Aaron Rodgers for the season. And he's mad that we said, you didn't play good? Like, you said it. I don't get it.
Doing the thing he says other people are doing, right? He's making this up. Like, who was saying anything about Aaron Rodgers last week other than, well, he had a lousy game. I'm sure they'll bounce back. I don't get it. He's trolling.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is trolling us right now. We fell into the trap. I'm not going to fall for it. Whatever, Aaron. I can't wait till he has a bad game.
We'll see. They play San Francisco next week, so that'll be an interesting matchup. In the meantime, Marcus Spears, let's talk about just how get right this game was. Do the Packers, this is a championship or bust kind of team, particularly on the defensive side. What are you seeing from them through 2 weeks?
I'm not seeing a Super Bowl contender. When I look at Aaron Rodgers, we know that he's elite. We know this offense is elite. But I also know the Rams are looking pretty elite, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are looking pretty elite. There are teams in this NFC that's going to have a lot to say about Green Bay getting back to NFC Championship, but also trying to win a Super Bowl. And to that point, G, like, this is, you know, people last dance, or is this the last go around, or how things will shake out. And it's all good now because you beat the Lions. And we looked at the week one game, 38-3 to the Saints, and we was like, yo, this offseason has something to do with that. And then you get a get-right game from this offense. He found Devontae. He found Aaron Jones. Play good football. But this team ain't giving me Super Bowl vibes. I don't know about everybody else, but right now, like currently, 2 weeks into the season, this defense is a liability and an issue.
He's the troll. He's the troll right there. We found him. We found him. Like, we was looking for him with Aaron. This is where he is. Listen, man, Kansas City ain't got an elite defense. They didn't have one that won a Super Bowl a couple years ago. Like, elite defense. Hey. Green Bay's not built on an elite defense. They have to get better. I agree, Swagger. Okay. They got to get better. It's week two, man. They got injuries and a new defensive coordinator. It's going to take time.
I got a question for you, Jeff.
But, man, again, the excitement and all the ridicule we gave him after week one, maybe I'm going to put a beanie on with Aaron. I mean, listen, you against him, he's against him. I'm still with him. I'm still riding with the Packers.
Go ahead, Marcus.
Hey, listen. I don't care enough about Aaron Rodgers to be against him, but this is what I will say. The offseason impacted week one, and he ain't going to tell me no different, and nobody on that team going to tell me anything different. They literally said after the game we had no energy and no juice in the locker room. So that came from somewhere. But here's the point with the Green Bay Packers. They ain't had a good defense, and you know what has happened, Jeff Saturday? They ain't won a Super Bowl. So I don't know why we think they're going to win one now, because this is potentially the last season. Tampa's still there, bro. The Rams are still there. They got better. It's not about the Packers not being good. They've been good.
And their defense played well enough in the NFC Championship game to take them to the next level. Like, as the season progressive, like, you can't put the NFC Championship loss on the defense of the Packers. So, like, when you're talking about, you may say the coach shouldn't have kicked the field goal. You may say Aaron should have scored, whatever it was. But don't blame that on the defense. Like, at some point, the defense is going to have to get better. So we can't just set it all right there.
You see what Aaron did? Now you trolling him. Now it was his fault they ain't win this playoff game. That's how it go. It's football, man. It's football. This is how we talk about it. But you're right. You right in that regard, Jeff. Like, three turnovers in that NFC Championship game. But the bottom line is, bro, we expecting the Packers to win a Super Bowl. They don't look like a Super Bowl team to me
Aaron
right
Rodgers
now.
Aaron Rodgers didn't give up that touchdown just before halftime. That's all I'm saying.
Aaron's fault. During the entire drama that was the offseason for Aaron Rodgers, I felt like you were very connected to what's going on there in Green Bay. It still feels, admittedly from a distance, as though the whole thing is kind of hanging by a thread, right? Well, there is still this feeling that if it goes in the wrong direction, it could somewhat snap. What is the truth of the inside there?
I think that's a logical conclusion to draw, but I don't think anybody's expecting that to happen. I think they expect to be good. I think they expect to look a lot more like last night than they did in week one. And while Aaron has sold to himself and a lot of other people this whole last dance comparison, I think they're focused on trying to win their game. The relationship with the coaching staff is fine. The relationship with his teammates is fine. Week one, man, I don't know. Like, if I thought I was going to New Orleans and then I found out I was going to Jacksonville, my energy would be low, too. That's all I'm saying.
But let's just be reasonable. Get right game. I mean, it is what it is. But here's the reality of it. This is playing Detroit last night at home in a bounce-back game. The whole world is paying attention, and they're losing in the third quarter. They didn't obliterate that team last night. There's a couple of crazy plays. The fourth and one they don't get, and then the drop fumble on the snap that we showed you. That game was closer than the final score would make it say.
Absolutely. And I think in part, or the large part, that is because of the defense. And I know that you're going to say okay, they got a bunch of turnovers, but they also gave up a touchdown with seconds to go in the half when they shouldn't have. Like, there were mistakes on that defense that caused them issues. You go back to the NFC Championship game before that, they couldn't do anything with the 49ers rushing attack. It's hard to put any blame on Aaron Rodgers, even though him and his wet hair and his beanie gets upset at us. We all kind of defend him.
If you pay no attention to anything else, if you just watch the first 2 weeks of the season and say, name for me the really good teams in the NFC, you wouldn't mention
I would mention Green Bay. Let me tell you something. Don't underestimate the patience Green Bay played with last night, right, coming off that abysmal loss and having to play. Detroit played well on defense. They forced them to run the ball, which nobody wanted to see that. Give them credit. They played patient. They're still one of the top NFC teams.
All right.
They have Aaron Rodgers. They got a chance.
Right. No,
they
we have all would say 12. That because of him. Yeah. I'm just saying, if you don't have any other information, you just watch the first two games, that's not the impression you would come away with. We'll see. Anyway, as of last night, week two is now officially behind us. Let's do our primary takeaways. What was your number one week two takeaway, Dominique?
Lamar Jackson proved once again that he is special. I mean, just nothing they could do with him. We saw how he was out there undermanned. He had receivers slipping and falling. He was throwing interceptions in the first quarter. Just to overcome that mentally is something special. And then to do it without a full-strength offensive line, with ACL tears all throughout their running backs, injured wide receivers, and down 11 at the start of the fourth quarter. He's special, man. They better pay that man his money.
Graziano, you covered that game. What is your primary takeaway?
I think the Chiefs' road back to the Super Bowl might be a little trickier than we thought. Look, just in their division, the Broncos are 2-0. The Raiders are 2-0. The Chargers were pretty close to being 2-0. Then you go outside the division. Baltimore just beat them. Obviously, Cleveland, a big bounce back this week. Buffalo, big bounce back this week. Derrick Henry's out there taking the Seahawks' souls in the second half of that game. I think it's going to be tough on Kansas City. It's a tougher road than we might have thought.
The AFC is loaded. Jeff, your number one takeaway.
The Raiders are good. I said it last. No, I didn't say it last. It's the exact opposite. Listen, Derek Carr is playing lights out. I love the third down throw right there to Ruggs. I get that. Their defense. Man, their defense, Max Crosby has been just unblockable. This guy is terrorizing offenses and offensive lines. What they've done. Still have hesitation because we know they seem to fall off at the end of the year. But give them silver and black. They're back, man. Like, it looked good.
That was a really impressive win. Swagoo, number one takeaway.
Dan Quinn has the Dallas Cowboys defense playing better. Coincidentally, people know what they're doing out there, so they're making plays now. This is 6 turnovers in 2 weeks against 2 really good football teams. And when you hold Justin Herbert and this offense to what they were able to hold them to, and I know the Chargers had some self-inflicted wounds, but if you look at turnovers, Parsons bumping out the defensive end, and the understanding of how these guys want to play defense, Dan Quinn is doing a phenomenal job through 2 weeks, guys.
I'm with you. Dan Quinn plus Micah Parsons equals much improved on that side of the ball. We'll take a break. Coming up, what time is it? Speaking of Dallas, Mike McCarthy trying again to explain the clock issues that nearly cost his team on Sunday. Is anyone here buying what he's selling? Plus, a sneaky big injury for Baker Mayfield and the Browns. There may be a bigger concern in Cleveland. We'll tell you what that is next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing including all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up, Dan Graziano. Let's run the hurry up news and notes, starting with Carson Wentz.
Carson Wentz has 2 sprained ankles, which is the most you can have, unless you're an actual Colt, in which case you could get up to 4. But in Carson's case, they're going to see how he feels in practice this week, whether he can operate on those 2 sprained ankles, and they'll make a decision as the week goes along. Obviously possible he might have to miss time. So Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback of the Dolphins, he has a rib injury. X-rays showed that they are not fractured, that it's bruised ribs, so it's going to be a question of pain tolerance and how Tua gets through the week of practice before the Dolphins decide whether he's going to be able to go against, I believe, the Raiders on Sunday. I think that's who the Dolphins have next. Max Crosby taking aim at those ribs. Maybe they won't want to run him out there. And then Tyrod Taylor, he has a hamstring injury. It sounds like he's going to have to miss time. This is incredible. Every single year, right, it seems like Tyrod has an injury in week 2 or 3, and a rookie quarterback takes over. They're playing Thursday, so even if he could get ready in a week, he doesn't have a week. I would expect to see Davis Mills out there against Carolina on Thursday.
Okay, yes, they do play the Raiders this week, and the Carson Wentz line hit. Everyone thought it was funny. In the meantime, sneaky big news. Nothing funny about what's coming out of Cleveland. Jarvis Landry has suffered an MCL sprain. He is week to week. That was confirmed by Coach Kevin Stefanski yesterday. But it's not the offense in Cleveland that's concerning our Rex Ryan. This is what he said on Get Up yesterday.
Their defense is not as good as it should be. And I don't know who that falls on. I probably got an idea. But when you got some of the best players in the league on your defense and they just always underachieve, that's the next piece for this football team. If they're going to be great, that defense needs to pick it up.
So there's a few things in life you can count on, but one of them is that Rex is going to look at the defense and suggest you're not a championship team if your defense isn't good enough. And so, Marcus, let's talk about it. If not now, when for Cleveland? Baltimore is beat up beyond recognition. Pittsburgh's offensive line is a mess. Cincinnati is still a ways away. This is the moment for the Cleveland Browns. Is that defense good enough?
That defense right now is not good enough, G. And this offense, we all know what they bring to the table. And I talked about it before the season. This is the catalyst for the Cleveland Browns having the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. If this defense can perform up to the names that have been added to this defense. Remember, they went out and got Troy Hill and John Johnson off of that Los Angeles Rams defense that was really good. They signed Jadeveon Clowney. We all know Myles Garrett is what he is. Denzel Ward is back healthy. These guys are supposed to be playing at an elite level from athleticism, from what they can do from a physical standpoint, and what we've seen Cleveland start to build as who they are, an identity, a physical football team. That's what they are from an offensive standpoint. And remember this, Baker Mayfield ain't got paid yet. Somebody gonna have to go once they cut that check, because Miles got $100 million already. Baker got $100 million. If not now, G, it gets harder going forward as opposed to this year taking advantage of what you have at your disposal.
That's exactly right. And Graziano made the point a few minutes ago, just how loaded the AFC is. But this is a team that it feels like could get it done. What do you see, Jeff?
They are a team that's going to get it done. Listen, I said this even after they lost in week 1. This is a good football team. To me, this falls into the maturity category, right? They played a Texans team. You look at their roster, they're not very good. They're going to play hard. And a team who isn't accustomed to winning a bunch of games, they started slow. It just wasn't a pretty win. Guess what, folks? Cleveland ain't gonna win pretty all the time. You know what travels? That offensive line and those 2 running backs. You know what that does for your defense? It keeps them fresh. And you know what that's gonna happen as the season progresses and as this defense gets better and better? This team will get better and better. Again, we gotta pump the brakes on expecting these defenses to just shut everybody down. A lot of it is film study. You don't have a whole lot to look at from the opposing offense. There's a lot of things to settle down. I like this Browns team, and I'm telling you, you, the guys that Swagoo just mentioned, they will play. Man, I'm telling you, players play. They are good football players. Yeah. They will begin to pick it up. It's just it started slow for them.
Yeah, I'm with Rex. I thought the defense would be better by, what are we in, like week 12 at this point? No, it's no, week two.
Thank you.
It's entirely new. When I was at their camp, they were saying they could have as many as 8 or 9 new starters on the defensive side
That's
of the
right.
ball. It's going to take some time for that to come together.
Yes.
In the meantime, I do think they are built to weather it. They really should be 2-0.
That's right.
The only thing that we would say is that Baker Mayfield needs to stop making tackles.
Oh, yeah.
These
thank
quarterbacks
you.
Need to stop going out there and making these tackles. I've said it a million times. Quarterbacks need security. And with that thought in mind, Swagoo is going to hand out some of that.
That's great. That's
I
great.
Know some people in this league need security. Everybody ain't getting dumped around here. This long gone mother law. He needs a new security guard. They better find somebody quick. Athleticism is a trait of being a security guard. And when you don't have none, you get your quarterback killed by a little guy. Like when the big dude run up on one of the little dudes and then you find out he a damn MMA fighter and you get beat to sleep. You need new security.
So again, if you are new to the program, here's basically what happened. Jeff Saturday was handing out pancakes for all these big blocks, and the defensive lineman, Marcus Spears, just couldn't handle that anymore. So he created You Need New Security to give us the flip side. Let's take a look at some of the big plays this week, Marcus.
Gee, I'm going first to Bobby Wagner. Listen, Jeff, tell the damn old line to get their calls right and be some security for Ryan Tannehill. This happened too fast. Where are you going, Davis? Protect the man. He right in front of your face. But that's Bobby Wagner, and Bobby Wagner usually knocks people's security guards out and makes plays. That's what he did right here. Ryan Tannehill, this is twice. You've been on You Need New Security. You better talk to these damn offensive linemen. I'm telling you. The next one is Grandel Pitt. Speaking of the Cleveland Browns defense, Grandel Pitt did this at LSU, and he's doing it in the league. Davis Mills, welcome to the NFL. Somebody told me you shouldn't play rookie quarterbacks because they can't set protection. Well, damn it, this is your example. Davis Mills, you need new security. What is the offensive tackle doing? Where the hell are you going, 61? I know it's slide protection. It's a free hitter that's about to decapitate your quarterback. You need new security, Davis Mills. And last but not least, y'all, the Washington football team defensive line. And Daniel Jones, I feel bad for you because the whole damn defensive line sacked you on this. You need all new security. I know we done talked about this offensive line. I thought they did pretty good in this game against Washington football team, but this is needing new security. This is like when you go to the club and there's 5 big security guards standing at the door. And you walk up with your boys, and yeah, they look intimidating. They look like they can beat you up. They look like they can throw you out the club. And then you find out all of them got torn ACLs and bad backs and can't stop nobody from knocking the club owner out. You need new security, Daniel Jones. Your bouncers are big, but they ain't athletic, bro.
I love it. That's I absolutely so good. Love it. I love the back and forth nature of it here. Does it hurt your heart watching those plays?
It does, especially when he finds when the quarterback screws up the protection, he blames the tackle. Mm. He made him go left. It's a zone blitz. That's the quarterback. He had no situational awareness.
Have
He's looking
awareness.
The whole wrong way. The guy's embarrassed. Don't put
awareness.
That on the O-line.
Jeff Saturday, you might get a gold jacket because you had awareness and you could see things even though That's you fair. Had a particular call.
Mike get knows
it. The security is a keeper. In the meantime, as we continue, the clock continues to tick. In Dallas, the coach continued to try to explain the malfunction at the end in L.A. You'll hear what he said and see if you're buying it. And then today's matchup between Hembo and Graziano is on deck. The Lions played last night. They lost. Aside from Matthew Stafford, who was the last quarterback to win a game for the Detroit Lions? That's the question. Graziano takes his shot next. Get up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back. It's everybody's favorite part of the show, Sneaky Hembo for Graziano. The Lions lost last night. Aside from Matthew Stafford, who was the last quarterback to win a game for the Lions?
So I'm trying to think, because Stafford didn't miss a lot of games, but early in his career he was banged up. So I was trying to think who Stafford's backups were early in his career. We briefly considered Orlovsky, but we don't think it's him. I was thinking like Charlie Batch. Dominique said Sean Hill, because he's a Maryland guy. I'm going to go with it. Sometimes it's a team effort. I'm going to guess Sean Hill.
That's right.
Let's do it.
Unbelievable. I can't believe it. I mean,
teamwork, baby.
Let's go, Maryland. We're all behind you.
It's just unbelievable.
Wave high, the black and gold.
I have no idea how you do this.
You got to give Dominique that one, though, because I wouldn't have guessed Sean Hill.
Graziano continues to be better than anyone I know is at anything. He's up 36-27. It's a two-score game.
You got to know who you can lean on.
Between Graziano and Hembo. No one loves it more than Neek.
Let's
show you what happened last night. Here's how the Lions remained winless on the season. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers hosting the joint last night. This was a game most of the night, but it was the Aaron to Aaron connection that did it. This is Aaron Jones taking it in for the first of his touchdowns last night. That one would tie the game at 7. Second quarter, Packers are down 14-7. Here's another Aaron to Aaron touchdown. Jones had just 7 touches in week 1. He had 13 touches in the first half last night. Then it's Rodgers with a rope to Robert Tonyan. Look at that throw. 21-17. Green Bay in the third. Later in the third, this is Rodgers. It's Jones again. That's his third touchdown of the night. Rodgers would throw 4 on the evening. And then just for good measure, give me one more for Aaron Jones. Fourth quarter, he takes it in. 115 total yards and 4 touchdowns on the night for Aaron Jones, and the Packers wind up pulling away to win it 35-17, a much-needed improvement from their Week 1 performance against the Saints. They had 100 more yards on offense, 32 more points, and they went from a flip their turnover differential from -3 to +2. They will play San Francisco on the road this coming week, so we will see how that one turns out. In the meantime, people still talking about the Cowboys and their nice win in L.A. on Sunday. And the way that it finished, again, with that timeout in his pocket, Mike McCarthy opting to bleed the clock down to 4 seconds and ultimately settling for a 56-yard field goal that did win the game. Here was McCarthy yesterday continuing to explain it.
Crew in the box, we were anticipating them calling a timeout there. But then we had to, one of our guys went outside the numbers. And so at that point, we got to this 17-second threshold, and that's when the I've just never seen that happen. The clock that I was looking at went out, and then Kellen was blocked by the clock he said he was looking at. Next thing you know, there's 9 seconds left. So we got it done.
Do you follow the clock on the overhead board, or does it change?
Not anymore.
So there are very, very few hard, fast rules in life, but one of them is when your explanation of anything takes that long and has that many different specificities in it, you're reaching a little bit. Now, Marcus, Jerry Jones said on the radio this morning he accepts McCarthy's explanation of what happened. Do you?
Jerry accepted because they won. I don't.
Yeah.
Listen, man, this was a coaching malfunction. His brain glitched during this time. Every coach on the Dallas Cowboys team brain glitch. McCarthy is going to get it, but all coaches are supposed to be paying attention to time and situations. Jeff Saturday can tell y'all, we do this on Saturday. We go through clock management situations. We walk through all of these special team scenarios. We walk through making sure we have enough time to get teams set up and we're not teetering around possibly losing an opportunity to not only win the game, but convert first downs and do all of that. Mike McCarthy brain glitched. And let me tell you something. If Zuerlein wouldn't have made this kick, y'all, Mike McCarthy would be on the hot seat. I'm not playing because Jerry Jones, if they would have lost this game because of that, the clock would have started for Mike McCarthy based on how this season was going to continue to go along. You cannot,
as a coach, cost your team a game potentially, especially when these guys play this well against a good football team, and think that in a loss potentially because of a clock malfunction on what you gave us, that Jerry wouldn't have started that process of thinking about, well, who ain't going to be messed up when the clock situation arises?
It's hard to argue. And let me ask you this, though, Jeff. I'm sure a lot of fans were thinking, how about the players on the field? Like, what is going on? You've been there. You've been an offensive player on the field. They're, I imagine they all know how much time is left on the circumstance. And again, the Cowboys did have a timeout remaining. What's happening on the field?
Yeah, the conversation should have been third and three. We're going to go get a first down. We don't want a 56-yard field goal to be our last play of the game. So as far as we can get it, hand the ball off, whatever the check with me is, again, it's why we just talked about it. You do this literally on Saturday. And as everybody's approaching the line of scrimmage of what we need to do, call it and run it. Let's get this thing going. Hand it to Pollard or Elliott or whoever's beside you. Let's go get that last 3 yards. It doesn't require all the setup. You still have a timeout. What you did not want to happen is what they did. Because let me tell you, everybody shrunk up. Everybody got real tight when they realized, oh, my God, we just basically wasted 20 seconds to get to a 56-yard field goal, and he's 100%. Thank God he made it, because if he didn't, everything changes.
Danny? I haven't been to that stadium yet, but most of the stadiums I've been to, there's a lot of clocks, right? Like, there's a lot of places you can look and find the time. Like, hey, Greg Zuerlein, by the way, might as well have come out of a phone booth with a cape on and save the day for Mike McCarthy. That's where the story ended up.
100%. And Marcus, let's not let this obscure, however. I'm going to give you a moment here to wax rhapsodic. Let's not let this obscure how impressive this win was and how good this start has been for the Cowboys, and in particular on the defensive side of the ball.
They look good, didn't they, y'all? Like, they look really good, didn't they? Like, it's 2 weeks in a row that we didn't look competent. We look good. We turning the football over. But more importantly, and on a serious note, we see the impact that number four has on this football team. Mm. And, Jeff, I got to give your boys a shout-out up front. This offensive line has been impressive, man. I was so worried about Lyle Collins not playing and them finding that matchup with Joey Bosa and trying to move him over there to take advantage. But this offensive line did a phenomenal job. The Chargers came out in a two-high shell. That means two safeties deep. And Kellen Moore said, we're going to run this rock.
Yes, sir.
And Dak Prescott converted third downs. And Dak Prescott put him in position to get a field goal to win the game. The Cowboys are 1-1. They perform well 2 weeks in a row. And yes, Lord, it's competence on defense. And we're turning the football over.
Good.
I'm going to settle down, G.
This is
2 weeks.
It's a 1-1 football game.
I mean, right?
It's 2 weeks.
It's 2 weeks. The Super Bowl
on
Sunday.
I said I'm going to settle down. It's 2 weeks.
I don't want you to settle.
But I had to listen.
They look way better than we thought.
I had to listen 6 months. Yeah. I had to listen to y'all for 6 months talk about how bad my boys was, and nobody ever brought up that the whole damn team was injured. But I'm going to leave it at that. We healthy. We playing well.
All right, let me bring up something then, Marcus. You're too happy right now. I'm going to bring up something that's going to upset you. This is something that has a lot of the former players we work with here upset. It is the number of taunting penalties that have been called so far this season. The league has made this a point of emphasis for officials this year. Pete Carroll, reacting to this yesterday, said, I think we've opened up a bit of a can of worms. We're going to have to find our way through it here as we go. It's the reaction of the player in the moment that we have to train. And you've got a lot of guys that have to deal with those explosive moments, and they've got to really turn their focus away from the opponent, which it's a good thought. It's just hard to manage. Jeff, taunting.
Worst rule in football. Worst rule in sports. Let's take it even a bit. Worst rule in sports. This is absolute trash. Man, y'all played defense. I played offense. Unless a guy is truly attacking you and your persons, we don't care, man. Like, we work too freaking hard not to be able to get up and celebrate, man. Like, this has gone way, way out of bounds out of control, man.
I'm a cornerback.
Yeah.
So if it's an overthrow, I'm dancing.
Yes.
And any incomplete pass is a hard job to do.
Yes.
And you and I have both been in competition committee meetings. Normally, there's a rationale or there's a reason. Like, we're implementing this in order to protect this person.
That's
we're implementing
right.
this to do whatever. Like, what are they trying to solve?
Feelings. They're trying to protect people's feelings.
But was there a rash of, like, fights? Like,
no.
If I understood if there was, like, a bunch of retaliation, I think it's just more about optics. It's like they want this league to be some buttoned-up, super professional corporate league. At the same time, they want people to try to kill each other on the field. Let them play.
That's right.
This is not a problem.
Marcus, what do you think?
You know my favorite word, G,
stupid. This rule's stupid as hell. And the reason why it's stupid is because football is a heat-of-the-moment game. And there are penalties for when you go overboard in this game. And they understand that sometimes it does go overboard. But taunting in the NFL has been going on since the damn game was invented. They've been taunting since they put cleats on at Harvard, since Little League football. This is one of those things where you look at the NFL and you really have to ask, because a few years ago, it was celebrations in the end zone. And we like, bro, what are y'all trying to do to the league? Like, this is also entertainment. This is a physical game. This is a fun game. It's a passionate game. Sometimes we've seen it goes too far. But this has been happening in the league forever when it comes to taunting. When you make a play, you let the guy know you made a play.
Yes, sir.
You didn't beat me. So here's my question, and this is for all of y'all. Because when a guy scores a touchdown and they do a celebration, why are we not deeming that taunting?
Right.
Well, no. It's about where your body
is
directed
or
something.
That's
how you know it's stupid. Specifically. Listen,
here's the whole thing. We were, like everybody said, we worked too hard not to be able to celebrate. When you see Julio Jones or A.J. Brown running past you 5 yards and you make a great play and knock him down or knock the ball down and you can't get up and be like, that's right. I mean, that dude didn't get in his face. And I mean, like, he said something as he got it. He should be hyped, man. Like, you just stopped the freaking touchdown. Like, it's a
and
big deal when you look at this game. When you make the play, celebrate the play. Otherwise, you're going to get a bunch of robots out there. And you talk about flat football. Flat football is awful to watch. You want emotion.
Yeah, it's part
you
of
want
the game.
People excited. When I put a dude down, you see how hype I get on sat him down, man. I'm passing
Absolutely.
Pancakes, bro. I ain't even suited up, and I still get.
It's genuine.
Like, it brings you to life. Like, that's why you play.
And Foxy and Jeff knows this, G. We ain't cursing or talking about nobody mama we doing that. We make a play, we like, oh, yeah, I got you. Because most of the time, we know the dudes. Most of the time, we know the dudes.
Speak for yourself.
Go ahead, Foxy.
I did a lot of cursing, and I called a lot of people's families. But, no, it's just it was all in good fun, good nature.
Look, there's two reasons to make these rules. One, health and safety. The other is because the fans are clamoring for it.
Right.
I don't know what single fan.
There's a third reason. The third reason is money. Like, it's normally about they want to make this look more corporate so that they can sign up more sponsors.
I have a very difficult time understanding the rationale behind this one. In the meantime, as we continue here in just a moment, I remind you that tonight we got good baseball postseason impact matchup. Jays, Rays coverage 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. And as we continue, it just gets more and more confusing in Chicago.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It is time for Swagoo Says, where you'll hear people in sports say things, and Marcus will tell you what they really meant. And we begin with John Harbaugh, who was asked after the Ravens' Sunday night thriller if he had any hesitation about going for it on fourth down.
No, there wasn't, but I wanted to be sure myself, you know. I knew he was going to say yes, so, but we were going for it at that point.
Would there have been a doubt if it was any other player or quarterback, if you didn't have Lamar?
Well, Mahomes, I bet they're going for it, too, with Patrick Mahomes. How about that?
All right, so that's what the coach said. What does Swagoo say?
Gee, I don't know if this applies to you, but it applies to me and maybe Foxy and Jeff Saturday. When we used to go out when we were young with our boys, we used to have to make sure everybody was ready to fight in case anything popped off. And that's all Harbaugh was doing. He's just telling everybody. I was making sure I wasn't in that alley by myself and Lamar was ready to do his thing. Because soon as I throw this first lick, they better be ready to fight or I'm going to get jumped by my damn self. He had two aces in his hands and two pocket aces came out on the draw. He knew to go for it after Lamar confirmed it's time to fight.
Absolutely, and that was pretty much my entire social experience through most of my college years as well. But next up, Urban Meyer, Jacksonville. He had this exchange after losing his second consecutive game with the Jaguars.
Do you feel like you got out-coached today?
Out-coached? Oh, I don't know if we got out-coached. Oh, we lost a game. I don't normally... That's a good question. I've been asked that question before. We lost a game.
Huh, so that's what he said. Swagoo, what do you say?
I don't like the question. That was a little snobby question. I ain't all cool. But you know what Urban was really saying? I wouldn't get out-coached at USC. I wouldn't get out-coached at college places. Like, I know this is Jacksonville, and Urban Meyer really wanted to say, man, we ain't good, man. We ain't good. And I can be good if I go to college. I won't get out-recruited. I won't get out-coached. And more than likely, I end up in the college football playoff. So, yeah, I got out-coached because I'm in the NFL and not in college.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's easy to get out coached when the other guy's got better players than you do. That's not an experience he has usually had. All right, one more, and this is the one we've been talking about forever, and this is Bears coach Matt Nagy, who on Monday had this to say about the quarterback situation in Chicago.
We'll have to be prepared when we find out exactly what's going on with Andy understand, okay, is he able to go? And for us, you got a guy that's been in the league playing quarterback for a long time, and you got a guy that's never had an NFL start. So we'll have to work through that, which we will.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad.
Hey, so that's what he said. Swagoo, what do you say?
Oh, thanks for the update, Matt Nagy. You ain't saying a damn thing. That's what he. This is the hardest Swagoo says ever, because Matt Nagy don't say nothing. Matt Nagy only tells us that I want Andy Dalton to start because I don't know why I want Andy Dalton to start. I want Andy Dalton to start because I don't know if we're going to win games and he going to throw a pass more than 7 yards. I don't know what I want. That's what Matt Nagy is, and that's probably why I'm so frustrated, G. That's why I'm frustrated. I just realized it. I had an epiphany. Matt Nagy don't know what the hell he's doing. So how could I be mad about not playing Justin Fields? He don't know what he doing. That's what Swagoo says about Matt Nagy.
That is so good. And, you know, there's so many things about that to unpack. Dan Graziano, again, you and I have both covered a million of these press conferences. When you ask a question, is he the starter if he's healthy? And the answer is, I'm not answering that because it's about scheme, which it obviously isn't. What do you say to that?
Well, there's a lot going on there. The first thing he did, as Dominique just pointed out, is repeat the question.
Don't repeat the
which
question.
Is a telltale sign of someone who's trying not to tell the truth, right? Like, that's a thing you do to pause.
Did he think he wasn't going to be asked that?
Yeah, so then, and then he leaves, right? And then his PR people get with him and say, hey, just so you know what you just said and how it's being received and how it's going to get played. Then he sends the PR person back in to clarify, right? That Dalton is the starter if healthy. So he's trying to get that out there and keep it out there it's time.
We're all piling on him, so I'm trying to be sympathetic. I'm going to accept that maybe Matt Nagy knows more about quarterback than me. He probably does.
Sure.
So he's probably more qualified to make a decision right now. And I also would say that there are some things that they don't need to tell us.
Right.
But, I mean, what comes with that is you're the shield. So if you're going to do something that seems like you can't explain it, then you also have to stand there and accept the fact that people are going to be critical of you, and that's part of the job. And Roger Goodell can give some tips about that, but that's what you have to do.
So Marcus, I mean, at the end of the day, we're all sitting here saying, why in the world doesn't he just make this change? The football gods seem to have handed him a graceful way to make the switch, and he just seems like, for whatever reason, he doesn't want to do it.
No doubt, G. And it's not about the switch for me anymore. I want to talk about something Foxy just said. Foxy, just tell the truth. That's what Matt Nagy should do. Matt Nagy should say Andy Dalton is the starter. Like, right. It's simple as that. If Andy Dalton is healthy, he's going to start. Like, and live with that. But when you in this situation and you talking around a specific particular question, this is what people are going to do. And then you go out and lose and you do a – you have this situation against the Rams where we see Justin Fields play well. We see him with the packages that you plan for him. He has to come in for injured Andy Dalton. We see the infusion of juice. We are looking at football. Andy Dalton is talking in circles. We looking at football. Right, Andy right. Dalton, right. If Justin Fields not ready,
I mean, there's either one of two explanations. He's dumb or he's hiding something from us. So I'm going to assume that he's not dumb and assume that maybe it's a possibility that it's not up to him. I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt that it's not up to him. And when they asked him the question, he was thinking, I want to put him in, but I don't know. Maybe Virginia Hallis McCaskey is like, nah, we're going to ride with that Andy Dalton.
That's unlikely.
Because Foxy,
I'm just saying, possibly. She might
to be past the point, like I'm past the point of visceral reaction. But what really angers me is as a player, dude, just tell us what we're doing. Tell us what we're doing. Like, tell us what we're doing, man.
Right, we've lost complete control of the proceedings here. Stand by. Tomorrow we have a special Wednesday Night Baseball doubleheader for you. Could I mention that? Big-time playoff implications. Mets and Red Sox, 7 Eastern, then Giants-Padres play their game. Both are on ESPN and the app, one tap, so you can watch from anywhere. We will try and regain order in the room, and then First Take will take over. Are the concerns about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers gone? Plus, does Lamar Jackson have anything left to prove? It's First Take, Molly, Stephen A., and Keyshawn, next on ESPN.